Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Checking In with Michelle Williams, a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect.
There are so many different fields of expertise and jobs and certain spaces where someone chooses to work in. And I am just so fascinated with this particular area of expertise that our next guest works in. This person is a leading forensic psychologist, trauma expert, training professional, and author. She addresses diverse topics, including post-traumatic stress disorder, multicultural therapeutic techniques, gang intervention, prison reform, human trafficking, violence against women, substance abuse, relationships, parenting, and mental health. Y'all, I'm excited about Dr. Deborah Warner joining us today. She's a professor in Los Angeles, I think, but today she's joining us from Columbia University in New York. Like, she is everywhere, and she's often asked to be an expert witness, psychological evaluator, and consultant. So she's an expert witness that is asked to testify on court cases. Y'all know my field or my major was criminal justice at one time. And so I am just thrilled to be talking to Dr. Deborah Warner today. So please stay tuned. If you're a crime junkie like me, stay listening. Welcome, welcome to another episode of Checking In. I'm so grateful for everybody who downloads episodes. It seems like you're telling everybody about Checking In, and we cannot even be in a season 3 without y'all checking in. Today's guest, I'm so excited. I'm literally about to, if I had children, they would probably say, you're embarrassing me, because you know how you have parents that say, you know, when I was growing up,
I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be a doctor. So they start telling you all the things that they did, right? And I am about to do the same thing with our next guest. She is a leading forensic psychologist, trauma expert, speaker, and author of several titles. I mean, she's got an upcoming conference that's about trauma and mental health, and we are going to get into that. But y'all, she's amazing, okay? She made me go put on a red lip. Y'all welcome Dr. Deborah Warner to Checking In.
Hey, Michelle, how are you? I am just excited to be here.
Oh, listen, doctor, I am so glad to meet you. The good thing about Checking In, we get to talk to an array of people who specialize in everything from trauma to mental health. We even had Lorenz Tate, and he's an actor. And so, see y'all, look, her eyes got big. She was like, wait a minute, Lorenz Tate. Yes. She was like, how come we couldn't do a group chat? You know? So this is what I'm about to say that could be embarrassing if I had children or anybody listening, because somebody always got to tell you what they wanted to be when they grew up. But Dr. Warner, in college, my major was criminal justice because I wanted to be a forensic psychologist.
No.
Yes. Yes.
That
yes.
That is
yes.
Awesome.
Yes. 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 And to this day, I watch all type of true crime in real time. I don't like recreated stuff. Like, say for instance, one of the popular stories out right now is the Murdaugh trial, right? Yeah. And so I'm sitting there, even as of last night, some new stuff has come out about the son. And I'm like trying to be Dr. Deborah, trying to figure out what would you say and how would you unpiece everything. So yes, I have to be the one to be like, I wanted to be like you. This is what I wanted to do.
Oh, wow. Wow. That just makes me really happy because, you know, part of what I do right now, since you're into piecing out crimes and all of that, that's kind of what I do every day. Like, I go into prisons and I actually piece together if someone is still going to be culpable the time that they're released. And so I have to go backtrack, put all that information together. Sometimes it's like two pages. And I have to figure out how that person ticked and tell the court how they're going to proceed in life. It is very, very fascinating. I think this year I've done at least 300 cases like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you need an assistant to help stack papers and put them in order and file everything for you, let me know. I'd be glad to intern for you for the summer.
Oh my goodness. Dude, you wouldn't have to intern.
Listen, well, I will intern for you based on where are you based right now?
I am based in California, and right now I'm in New York City, and I am sitting, you know, here at Columbia talking to you, but I'm based in LA.
Really? Well, let me know when you get back to California so I can help stack some papers, okay?
Okay. I will let you know, and we will talk about things.
Yeah.
I will let you live that out. That will be so much fun just to do that.
Please, please, please. So, Dr. Warner, you have been a speaker at TED Talk on male trauma.
Yes.
And you even wrote a book titled Yes. His Story, Her Story, A Survival Guide for Spouses of Male Survivors of Sexual Abuse. So you guys that are listening, not only is she, so as you can see, we went from forensics to trauma, specifically male trauma, because Dr. Deborah, there are times where, do you think a lot of it kind of goes untalked about with men?
Oh, absolutely. Men, because men don't disclose. Men will carry that secret for 20, 30 years. And then when they do, they're afraid people are going to laugh at them or not believe them, right? The biggest thing you can do is a man discloses to you is shut up and let him tell you the whole story. Because if you don't listen and he's trying to, it's probably the first time, he'll never tell anyone else again. You have stopped that process and that journey of healing. And so I always tell people that men are different because they will not disclose it. When they do, you have to let them have that space.
Wow. How did you get into forensics and trauma? How did that, in mental health, how did that come about?
You know how God guides you places? That's kind of what happened, right? Yeah. And I remember working in New York and being at this place. And then I saw these patients and it was like this big old burly guy tearing a payphone out of the wall. And I said, what kind of patients are those? And they said, those are forensics patients. I said, that's what I want to do the rest of my life.
Wow.
And I just, in crisis, it's just how I just don't respond. I'm able to see a situation, I'm able to navigate through it, but I'm really able to understand people, right? And so I waited 3 years for a program to come out so that I could be a forensic psychologist, but now I mentor other people. And one of the things I do is the script conference every year for people, and it's free to the community. It's on male violence and trauma. And this year is on diversity and inclusion. And it's July 20th and 21st. And what we do is that we let anyone come. We have people from the FBI. We have wardens of prisons. And we have ex-gang members on the same panels.
Wow.
Yeah. One year we did Black Lives Matter with the police.
Wow. You know, it made me want to ask, when you are talking about having to sit with inmates and go over cold files, or not even cold case files, but files that are current, you know, as we're seeing in the news right now. Are you finding, when you get to talk with the men, that are you finding a lot of trauma that they had in childhood?
Oh, absolutely. That's where it starts. It starts from childhood, but not just sexual trauma, like in my book, His History, Her Story. It is environmental trauma.
Yes.
It's the fact that they're growing up with that around them, especially people of color. My book, Barbara, My Boys, that's all about environmental violence. And those people were traumatized from living in that environment and causing them problems later in life. You never know what's going to affect somebody, right? But when you have everything coming at you from an environment, it's going to completely change your worldview. And then you're a man and you're told you got to be strong. You have to be a good dad. You have to be the top athlete. You have to do all these things, right? But when you have to be everything and you're broken, can you imagine? You have a hard time when you can't live up to expectations. So that's what causes a lot of the problems with people emotionally, especially men in trauma.
Okay. So I'm assuming, do you feel men kind of process or display trauma different than women? And if so, what are some of the signs?
Well, they manifest different, right? I mean, women who are traumatized might go down one path and men might go down the same path, right? But it manifests differently because men are socialized differently. Women will talk about it. There's lots and lots of resources for women in domestic violence shelters or women who have been traumatized. There are not as many for men because people don't believe men, or they say, suck it up and be a man. Right? Yeah. So that's the problem in our society.
I want to ask you, what type of person tells a person to suck it up? Like from a psychologist point of view, seriously.
A very famous comedian that was on a station actually went and someone was asking him that question, and his response was that, suck it up and be a man. I won't say who it is, but they know. Yes. And so I've heard that many, many times. Or they say they were lucky if a female perpetrator, and the kid's 13 years old, is sexually abusing them and they're like 35, they'll say they're lucky. Do you know that you've just shaped their whole world and how they see women and how they see other people and how they have wives and daughters? But they don't realize they're lucky.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle. And I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know we were talking about, I mentioned your book, His Story, Her Story, A Survival Guide for Spouses of Male Survivors of Sexual Abuse and Trauma. Now, if you are in a relationship with a man who has suffered trauma, what does that look like in a relationship?
Well, my husband's a trauma survivor. He's the one who encouraged me to go down this path.
Really?
Because he realized there was something about me working with men who were traumatized. Because I just sat one day, honestly, and I said, what the heck is wrong with my husband? Like, I couldn't figure out. Like, and I said, you know, you're a psychologist. You don't want to shrink your husband. We want to know this relationship does not follow other patterns. Right. And it doesn't follow other patterns because there's so many safety issues that were broken. There are so many issues of being dominant, but you're broken inside. So you don't want to be seen as weak. There are so many different things that and men, especially if you're supposed to be the breadwinner and you're supposed to be the person that is the head of the household, but you're depressed and you have all these things inside. Right. Well, men only have one emotion that they can show in life, and that's anger. So they become angry. Right. And they yell or they do things like that. And you're like, why is it one speed or the highway? Why can't you have others? Because that is the only acceptable one. So to say I'm hurting, to say I'm depressed, comes out as anger. It comes out as irritability. And so a lot of times when I'm in the prison, I get to tell their stories to the court now, right? Mm. And they're saying they're angry, they're violent. I said, no, he's a trauma survivor. Let me tell you what you need to do so that you can help him, versus saying he's a trauma survivor and he's a lost cause. So even though I love my job and I get to work with all these people and figure out if they are going to hurt society, I also get to tell a story. Mm-hmm. And that story a lot of times helps other people. I remember I was working on this one case and it was a trauma survivor. And there's like, no, he's got to stay in prison forever. And I said, if he has the right things because of this, especially if you get him away from his family, I guarantee in time, they'll be better. I'm not saying the day. I'm saying in life, time will start to heal him because now he's willing to talk. And that is the key, is to get the talking, get it open. Women talk all the time. Men, they can't do it as much. So you have to find a way to get in there.
So you're saying that there are some men that are in prison who can definitely be rehabilitated simply by someone sitting there listening to him, which can start his healing journey.
Yes.
Now, we all know that, unfortunately, their healing journey does not bring back the person that was harmed. Right.
No.
Doesn't bring them back. Or even if the person is still alive, they're going to have that lifelong memory of trauma that was inflicted upon them by that person in prison that you get to speak to. But are you finding, do you have like a success story or two where you're like, because someone listened, they're on a better path? Have they been released into the community? And how are they doing?
I have a few of those that make me smile. Wow. And I have a lot of my boys from Barbara and My Boys, their success stories. I wrote them down. I got them to help me help others understand by allowing me to write down their 5 stories. My Nico, my Tommy, my Blue, they come every year and they help me. And my Barbara from Barbara and My Boys, you know, and my Mr. Porter. And their stories are from being in there from attempted murder to being gangbangers to now Barbara, you know, has a whole organization that helps young girls who are in gangs. Wow. And they told me, you know, we are a reflection of you because you allow us to have a voice. And I said, no, no, no. I am your heart and I'm able to tell that story. And then now they have a platform, you know, because they come to my conference. But I mean, those stories make me happy. Like being able to help in that way and help my community like that.
What sparked your interest in this field? It's amazing.
You know, I want to do my neck of the woods. I want to create change. I want to create change for the next, you know, society. I do have a knack with people and understanding them, you know, because that's the gift God gave me, right? So how can I use that for good? Like, you know, my son, I'm out here in New York, so I'm doing a social emotional learning program with kids in acting and comedy, right? And I'm presenting it at the Cosmopolitan Club. I wish you were here because I'd invite you.
People don't even understand how that work that you're doing for actors, how important that is. But that's a whole nother question for later. Okay, well, I'll go into it briefly, by the way. There are some actors who have suppressed feelings, who can't seem to... I've been one of them where they're like, get angry. And I'm like, I can't get angry.
Yeah.
But why? There is a why to why. So it takes the work that you're doing, Dr. Deborah, to work with actors to let them know, first of all, you're safe. And maybe you need to get this out because the scene that you're about to play is going to be so organic.
Yes. And that's the thing that I do. I take that one thing. We start with monologues. And then I take that one thing. I say, okay, now add feeling to it. And then what is that feeling you're trying to convey? And then everybody does it with the trainer. So the actors get to work with the trainer on what they see. So it's like a mirror process. Mm-hmm. And we're doing this with kids so that later in life, they don't get stuck with these emotions. They're not getting out, which is really great. And my little son at 6, he couldn't read. So I use social emotional learning with him and he's written 2 books. The little kid who couldn't read at 6 is now a published author. And he made all these animals to tell his story. And the latest one is Freddy Fox's Freaky Fire. And he talks about this and he has these characters and it's just amazing. But what you can do, like you asked me why, for that joy that I got from my little boy, I'm like, you use the tools God gave you. If you use what God gave you, you can do good, right? You just have to believe in yourself.
You know, with everything that we're seeing on social media, say I have this question about gaming.
Oh, yeah.
Are you finding people, I guess the psychology behind why somebody says, I want to do this in real life. And I'm like, no, this is just a game. Because if you do it in real life, you're going to be in jail.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about like the gaming culture and then being able to put crimes out?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I actually did a little bit of work in that area. People don't realize that there are underground games, right, on the black net that are actual other things that are going on, right?
Wow.
And so, and then just like you have, you know, snuff films, things like that, there's a whole section of stuff that people don't even realize is out there. But then you have the kids that are on the, you know, they're doing the Twitch and they're doing all that and they're gaming and they're just playing the game. But then you have in all of these is what I've seen is you get obsessed with this and you sit and you're sedentary, right? And for some reason, you're not engaging with the world.
Mm.
And that's why you get sucked into this stuff and you end up on the black net and all that stuff because you are there's something you're dealing with that video games is filling for you.
Okay.
That is just not, it's not what you need to be doing. And I always tell people, you know, go get help. I used to use video games as therapy so that I could tap into that person that was sitting there on the couch like that. Yeah. Because I was like, well, that's their world. Let me figure out how I can get in that world.
Listen, you know how many men would love to say, if I get to play video games, I'm going to therapy.
All my teenagers would show up because I knew it all. But the thing is,
I'm talking about grown men who still playing games.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Be like, honey, no, you know, go to therapy. You know, you get to play video games.
Yes. Yes. But, you know, you reach your client where they're at.
Yeah.
That was the other thing I did in the prisons too when I used to be in there. I used to bring a boombox. You know, they never got to have all this music in there sometimes. So I would go in there and I bring my boombox. I said, give me a list of songs, but you have to tell me what that song means. See? So they got to hear all this music because I'm a therapist. I can bring it in, right? And so they had to hear it, but then we had to talk about it.
Wow. Which gets them talking and expressing.
Right.
That's right. So good because there are so many of, I'm going to say us, we don't know how to talk. We don't know how to express. And there are so many reasons. And I'll never forget, you know, reading things that say, let your kids express themselves, you know, because I grew up in a place where it was, don't know. You can't say anything because that's considered talking back.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't realize you're suppressing their ability to express for later.
Right. And then, you know, it's so funny because I have my son, I have my daughter, and my mom would always say, you didn't let him say that. I said, I'm going to let him say whatever he wants, and then I'm going to correct him. Mm. And I'm going to be his parent. That's the difference, is that I'm going to teach him how to talk, but I'm going to teach him by example, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of me as a kid, my response would be, you know, get the switch, right? That's not exactly... Southern house, right? You know, so I'm like, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna parent a different way. Right. And I remember my kid was jumping on the couch one day. He was like 3 years old, and he's jumping up on the couch. My mom's like, can't let him do that. And I said, he's not hurting anything, and when he cracks his head, he'll stop.
Oh, okay. So I hope my cousin Brittany is listening. She's a therapist and she definitely believes in that, you know, and a lot of people might say little jokes to her or make, you know, or say little smart comments of the way that she is deciding to parent her child in the way that she wasn't parented or the way, even like I said, that's my first cousin, in a way that I wouldn't, because you're used to a belt, you're used to a switch. You know what I mean? By the way, I'm sure you've seen that, how that manifests in a person's behavior later on.
Yes. Yes, that makes it even worse. Then you have all these weird attachments, right? You get disorganized attachments. You love and you hate your abuser at the same time because they're your parent. But yet you hate them because they hit you. Right. And so then you start making that same attachment with all these people. That's why you have broken marriages. That's why there's divorces. That's why people can't connect to their kids, because they've done all that. And, you know, one of the things people don't get, because in the black community, we talk about the switch. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that happened because of history. Right. And I'm not going to get too deep. But the difference is that we picked that up because we didn't want someone else to do it, because we didn't want our child dead. So that's why we picked it up. We didn't pick it up because that was our nature. It was because it was either us or someone else who didn't love our child.
Dr. Warner, I have heard that. I'm sure people listening have heard it. Like, if I don't beat my child, the police will. Right. Somebody else will. So before, let me discipline my child at home so right. that no one else has to do it. I have, yeah, you're right. I definitely yeah. have heard that. And it is passed down. You have, when I tell you, several areas of expertise, but there is an area that's not talked about a lot, maybe in our world, or I'm sure, obviously, where you go as far as corporate trauma, workplace trauma.
Yes.
And how this can affect one's health. So what qualifies as workplace trauma?
Oh, my goodness. So corporate trauma, I have a course on the Listen and Love University on it, too. But one of the things, the reason I made the course was because, you know, I used to be in the corporate world. You know, I was like assistant acting dean for a while. Like, you know, I was the first full professor at like 42, like, you know, who looked like me at some point. And I realized I wasn't me. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I was behaving in a way that fit certain social norms. And I said, but what do I want to do to, you know, and then I realized I was like freaking out because I didn't have donuts one day for a meeting, right? Because you better have your donuts. You said you were having donuts.
Yep.
You got to produce. And that's traumatizing, right? But then you have where you can't even go tell somebody how you're feeling. You can't even express that because if you do, there's someone right there to pick you off and take your place.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's traumatizing because you're never secure. You never get secure footing. So one of the things I teach people is how to find that secure footing, how to find your allies, how to find mentors, right? And I didn't have mentors. And then I finally had really good mentors and I learned. I said, you have, there's certain things you do in a corporate environment, certain things you don't. And then when you're ready, leave on your own terms because then you leave being you. Yeah.
That's so good. That's so good. Now, y'all don't be going to work talking about some, telling the boss, I'm leaving today. I listened to Checking In with Michelle and they told us that we can leave, you know, but so, you know, what should a person do? Because no one should be experienced. Well, people don't even know that that's what they're doing, inflicting trauma.
No.
I'll be full transparency. I was sitting in a counseling session one year and I was sitting in a session with someone and they were telling the therapist something that I said. And the therapist looked at me and said, you know, this can be considered verbal abuse. And I said, no, I know what I felt to have been verbally abused. I've been verbally abused, not in this relationship, but they don't realize like, no, it's not about the tone in which you say something. I just thought it was the volume and how a person can stand over you and seem so threatening. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so I think there are some, I think even some microaggressions in the workplace can be seen as trauma, right?
Yes.
If I'm hearing
that's you, where I was going. Microaggressions. Those little bitty things. Like people don't realize when you say something like, you know, going into someone's office, right? And you hand them a document you did. And then they say to you, oh, did someone help you with this? It's so well written. What does that say? You're giving a compliment, but you're not. You're saying you're not smart enough to do it on your own. That's a microaggression. So guess what happens? You said that. Well, Sally overhears it. She goes and says, oh, did you hear what they said? Now you've created an environment where this person is seen like they can't write and they don't understand what happened. And then the trauma continues. It starts going because people don't realize what comes out of their mouth. People hear it goes in their heart. That's the key. It goes in their heart and then people believe it.
Dr. Deborah. Wow. I hope that whoever is listening, I feel like you're triggered and hopefully you can just sit and breathe. And me and Dr. Deborah can sit here and tell you, you don't deserve that.
No.
You know what I mean? And so just kind of breathe. And how many people, doctor, have to deal with trauma at the workplace because they need this job? It's like, I can't quit. I have a family. Or a lot of people stay on the job and are experiencing trauma on the job because that's where they get the insurance and benefits.
Right. And they got the baby at home, right? Mm-hmm. Or they got the grandma or they're taking care of their mom. But that, those are those generational layers that people don't realize bring someone in the workplace.
Yeah.
A lot of time now I do consulting, especially with female executives. And I talk about the layers because they don't realize that onion is what's keeping them in that job. They may not be happy because, you know, I have elderly parents, they say, or my kid's going to college, or I'm a single mom, or I've made partner and I worked really hard, but are you happy?
Oh my gosh.
And what's not making you happy, right? It's the layers that I go through with them.
This, first of all, working with female executives, that can be a whole other or another, yes, I'm going to say another, a whole nother yes. masterclass that I don't know if you have ever done, like just for female executives because of the slack they get, the flack they get, the, like you said, the microaggression too, you know, just on females, period, in the workplace.
Yeah.
It's traumatic.
Yeah. I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
with zero qualifications,
she had a Harvard plaque,
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old Richmond because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about corporate America regarding the pandemic and how tons of people... She's like, what? Corporate America, the pandemic, there ain't nobody at work no more. Well,
they don't exist.
Well, it's because they've been doing the term quiet quitting. You know, there's so many terms. There's a new term called soft life, but that's new because it's like, what? I think I want a soft life too. But anyway, we got quiet quitting. And there are so many people who quit because they no longer wanted to go above and beyond. They only wanted to do the work that they were paid for. And there is even a push for 4-day work weeks that are trending. What do you foresee as the new corporate climate if workers aren't heard?
You know what I think is going to happen, or what I think corporate's going to predict to happen, right?
You're the expert, so.
Okay, I'll give you two scenarios.
Okay.
First of all, I think nobody's going to go back to work. They love this. The pandemic has caused people to see things differently. People in Europe do this all the time, right? And they're able to balance and do things. I mean, people like being in their sweatpants and just 5 minutes before going on their Zoom, right? So everybody's done it. So because nobody knows what's down there, right? So
But I got on my full outfit. I'm matching. I don't have on just sweats. I'm matching.
Well, you're yes, and so do I. But this is what people are doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to push back. The problem is corporations have built these skyrise offices. They have all these people and no one's in them.
You're in New York. You're in New York as we speak.
Right. And the mindset, I have to see you to be working.
But there are so many skyscrapers being built. Office spaces. Like, what are they going to do? I mean, how many apartments can you have?
Right. So there's going to be a shift in real estate. And what is that shift going to look like? Are they going to force people to come to work so they don't waste their money? Big organizations, maybe not. Are we going to have a shift in hotels? Are we going to have a shift in leisure spaces or spaces people can rent for office space?
Oh.
Or are we going to have a shift in looking at how we redirect to where, hey, you know what? This used to be an office space. We're going to revamp this to be a space where you can work and play.
Okay.
So I think that there's going to be a difference that's coming out, but there are going to be those other ones who aren't, you know, that are going to say, hey, we want to see you working and bring people back in the workplace. And there are some jobs that you have to physically be there.
Yeah.
But if not, I see a change. I see a definite change in what's happening.
Do you feel that people being in the workspace kind of keeps workplace synergy and energy good? Now, I'm not saying every day, but if somebody's in the workplace for like a day, everybody coming to work for a day or two, I would think that that's okay. Cause I'm the type of person where, as far as work is concerned, I'm in the place where I'm doing a lot of virtual meetings and I'm like, man, I wish I could be in the office with you because I don't know, it's something cool about it.
There are a lot of people that I work with that want to go in. And a lot of the organizations that I consult with let those people come in. And what they do is they have signups for office space. So you can actually get the same office every day for the next year if you want to, right? But those people are more productive. Then they have the other people who say, you can work wherever you want as long as you stay in the U.S.
Okay.
And so then they give them the equipment, right? But there are certain people that cannot handle being at home. And so they recognize that because there is an energy to going and talking at the water cooler or, you know, bringing people, you know, in your office and hashing things out, right? You know, so it depends on the personality, it depends on the tasks that they're doing. Now, me personally, I think I'm more productive at home because I really like lunches. I really like talking to people and I tend to wander. So Better at home.
You're better at home. Okay. And listen, and I think that the pandemic, there needed to be some shifts made. And so sometimes there are aspects of the pandemic that were for a cleansing in all kinds of ways. But at the same time, didn't we hate all the lives that were lost and the families who are grieving the loss of a loved one who went into the hospital and didn't come back, you know?
Oh my God, there's so many. You know, it's interesting. My husband finally got COVID like recently, which is sad, right? And he did it over Christmas and he went blind. He lost his sight. Yes, no one ever thinks about this. And so we had to create a family carpool and my daughter was helping driving him around. And like he woke up and his sight was like negative 2000.
Are you serious? How is it right now?
Now it's changed. He can drive. Okay. But he's probably at negative 50, right? Wow. But you can drive at like 45 something in one eye, like, you know what you were saying? And don't quote me, doctors are listening. I'm not a doctor. But he was, you know, it really did affect him. And I can imagine, now he lost his sight, which is really crippling. But imagine losing a life, losing a loved one, like, you know?
Losing the life of a loved one, and the eyesight. Going to sleep, being able to see, but waking up blind. How traumatic is that?
Oh, he handled it so well, but he's already a traumatized person, right? So you got a traumatized person who's having another trauma, you know, and there's nothing I can say. There's nothing I can say. And I remember looking at him and he's having the hardest time one day. And I remember looking at him and I was holding his hand. We're lying there. And I said, I know this is hard. I get it. I don't even know what you're going through because I can't tell you. I've never been blind, right?
Yeah.
But we got to make a plan because you have too much life left and you're going to waste it if you stay like this.
Now, doctor, here we go. This is some good talking for a person that's going through trauma. You said something so beautiful. I'm sorry. I don't know what it's like to be blind, but I can help you. Let's make a plan. Right. Yeah. So going back to how we treat people who have some compounded trauma, not just, oh, I fell off a bike and skinned my knee and that was traumatic. Because listen, as I'm learning, Dr. Deborah, again, I honor you as the expert. I've been learning that trauma just isn't like seeing a open bloody wound, you know. Trauma is, like you said, you could fall off a bike unexpectedly and that's traumatic, or you get news, you read a text and I don't know, to me this is trauma. What if your boyfriend done sent you a text that he was trying to send to somebody else? That's traumatic.
Yes, it is. That's a different type of trauma.
Yeah, because trauma is that something that is blindsided, something you didn't expect. Is that it's not the definition, but sometimes trauma is stuff you don't expect.
So if you're looking at like definitions like post-traumatic stress disorder or something like that, right?
Okay.
First you have to have an event, right? Mm. And that event has to cause you to feel like you're in danger or your life is threatened, but you have to perceive it. Okay. So going back to your text message, I perceive this is dangerous. My life is threatened. My livelihood has now changed because, man, that's a picture I shouldn't have got. Or that's a text I shouldn't have got. What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my life now? Do you see where that's trauma?
Wow.
Yeah. So it's how you define it. I always tell people that, right? And then there's symptoms that go with it. Like you have flashbacks, you get scared, you get anxious.
The heart pounds.
You can't sleep. So that's why I let someone else define it, because I was like, you know what? Like you said, something bloody, but imagine you walk over and it's a bloody leg. That's traumatizing.
Yeah.
Right. And that is going to stick with you and you don't even know. And trauma is one of those things that creeps, because if you don't talk about it, it creeps, it swells, and then it comes out in odd ways, like sexually acting out, physically acting out, substance abuse, hitting people, little kids getting anxious. You ever seen little kids who pull out their hair?
Yes. Pulling out hair, eyebrow.
Yes. Yes. That's all trauma.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter, I love her. We wrote a cookbook because she was a foster kid. But the first time I met her, she would carry everything in her bag. Everything she owned went in this backpack. And I was like, baby, you don't have to do that. And it took years. Now she has a little clutch bag. I'm so proud. So I said, okay, we're going to do something better. We're going to get some coach because I just can't handle this little plastic clutch.
But be like, yes, honey. Yes, yes, yes. How it got better. My gosh. So sweet, so sweet. For you to be in the field that you love, but to still have a heart that seems to be able to feel in your field, right?
Yeah.
How do you maintain a heart that can feel?
Well, that's all God. I'll tell you that. Like, this is what God wanted me to do. It's what he made me to do. And that's all I know how to do. I mean, I'd love to be a jazz and blues singer. Maybe that's where you can help me. Hey. You can teach me to sing.
Okay.
And I can let, and you can be my assistant.
Okay. Okay. I'd love to be the assistant intern. Y'all, if y'all didn't hear earlier, I told her, if you're just tuning in, I want to be her intern for the summer because she works in a field that I dreamed to be in, y'all. Forensics.
Yes, but know that I could be your little singing project, but I can't sing, so it ain't going to go nowhere.
Well,
but
we got to see, because maybe there is something in you that you don't know. You're into acting. Maybe we can pull some of that out. You teach people, you know, how to. It's all about the emotions, Dr. Yambrin, and how you're able to emote. You know that because you teach that as well. So.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is that, you know, one of the things I say to everybody is listen and love, right? Mm. And they're like, what does that mean? Well, you can hear me talking. People hear me talking, wah, 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 right? But are you listening to me? And then when you hear my words, how do you respond? And if you always respond from a place of love, there's nothing that can come out of your mouth but something that someone can hear or wants to hear, because you're listening, taking it in, and then responding with love. So that's kind of how I do this. I always listen and say, I'm going to respond with love. And if I think, oh my God, that wasn't, I will say, I am so sorry that that wasn't something loving.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have been so amazing and so intriguing. You know, when I asked you, how do you still have a heart that feels? Because there are some people that have some hard jobs.
Yeah.
Therapists, cops. People in certain leadership roles where you have to deal with a lot of people, and sometimes your heart can get hardened, right? Because of everything that you see, or you have to make certain split second decisions where you can't have emotions. You have to go by facts and logic. No. But it's been a joy sitting here with you today. If you can you tell us about this upcoming project and conference that I'm so excited that you get to share with us?
Yes. So I have the Script Conference coming up on July 20th and 21st at the California Endowment, thescriptconference.com,
okay.
Or they can just go to my website and there's a tab, drdeborahwarner.net, drdeborahwarner.net.
Okay.
But I also have a show coming out in CBS UK called Murder, Find the Truth, and I get to talk about crimes. So look for that. If you go on my website or find me on Instagram, I have a link tree and I'll have a link right to it when it comes out. It's going to come out in May. And you'll get to see all the stuff I'm talking about. You'll get to see me too.
Y'all, I'm so excited. So Script is Summit on Community Resilience, Intervention, Prevention, and Training. That's what Script means. And so you can go to thescriptconference.com. This is going to be absolutely fabulous. And your website again, your personal website.
Well, drdeborahwarner.net.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. We are so excited. Dr. Deborah, you've been a joy. We covered a lot of ground today.
A lot.
I feel like you can give a great word of encouragement to someone who feels like I've had too much trauma in my life. There's no way I can get better and have a great quality of life. What would you say?
Oh my goodness. That you're valued, that you're loved, and that you can do anything.
So good. Dr. Deborah, thank you so much. Y'all, she's sitting at Columbia University right now in New York, and she's got to get out of here, but she's been such a joy. Dr. Deborah, thank you for checking in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. We'll see you again. Oh my gosh. How awesome was this? Oh, this was so great. Y'all, I promise you, you will see me in LA spending at least a day with her. Like, it's no joke. I'm so sincere because, you guys, I never got the chance to shadow the county coroner because I don't think, if y'all didn't read my book,
You got to read it because it tells you of a big choice that I had to make as it related to Destiny's Child or pursuing another field. I'm not going to say too much. You got to get my book checking in. Or if you already know what it was, go ahead and DM me and tell me what it was. All right. So anywho, I just love y'all. And I hope that you are continuing to do well. It's getting warmer out. You know what I'm saying? Stay well and get some sunshine. All right. Bye-bye. I love you. And again, you already know what you're going to do. There's nothing you can do about it. All right. I always want you to know you're loved. Checking In with Michelle Williams is a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.